This week's Spring Break Immersion Trip is taking place through Wheeling Jesuit University's Appalachian Institute. It began in Wheeling with an orientation. Then the group traveled to the Morgantown and Washington, Pennsylvania area to visit the Center for Coalfield Justice and spend time with the Friends of Decker's Creek collecting water samples.
So we could essentially go back home. Type in this website,
yes.
And then just start clicking away.
Yes.
Here in Shepherdstown, the students became frack finders. Working with David Manthus from the nonprofit organization SkyTruth, they used computer software and satellite imagery to document observations about ponds at hydraulic fracturing sites in Pennsylvania.
We're using same aerial imagery that you can find in Google Maps, that you can see in Google Earth, as well as data from the state of Pennsylvania saying where drilling locations are.
The students sit in a conference room at the Presbyterian Church in downtown Shepherdstown with their laptops and tablets. They're studying aerial images of hydraulic fracturing sites, mostly square or rectangular patches of bare brown earth that stand out from the green vegetation surrounding them.
We show you a place on the map, we show you the aerial images of it, and say, what do you see here? So these students here are coming here to help us out and look through all of this imagery for the state of Pennsylvania and locate these wastewater ponds.
I know there's been some talk in the legislature about moving some stuff forward to ban fracking like they did in New York State, right?
Riley Chadwell says the SkyTruth technology allows frack finders to zoom in on the images. They answer questions about what they see, including whether there's a pond or not.
The first couple are kind of hard. I have to admit it's kind of confusing at first, but after a while you get the hang of it and you can start to kind of decipher, you know, okay, that looks like a frack pond or that doesn't look like one. So it's really cool technology.
How do you tell?
You're able to tell by whether the trees are cleared around the pond, and also if there's you can kind of tell if there's been like a dig site with a cement block, or there's a lot of buildings around the pond. Also, the shape of the pond is also another way we're looking at determining whether it's a frack pond. Typically, they're very industrialized shapes, like a rectangle or a square. Not so natural.
I think it's a good title to have, being a frack finder.
Julia Morielli likes the fact that anyone can become a frack finder and contribute to the project.
It's a universal thing. I love the fact that you can go anywhere and use this website and use this technology that we have and share it and educate others using the characteristics that we've been given to identify these fracking sites and facilitate the process of identifying which sites are fracking sites, which sites are active, which sites are impactful, and increasing the data and actually doing your part.
The University of San Francisco students say Californians, like people in the Marcellus Shale region of West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and New York, are debating the wisdom of hydraulic fracturing to extract oil and gas from the earth. Last year, Governor Jerry Brown signed a bill regulating the industry, and opponents would like to see the practice banned. Pepe Gill points out environmental issues affect everyone one way or another, no matter where you live.
We're all kind of connected in one way or another, like as an ecosystem. You know, so in the sense that, you know, if one species suffers, we all kind of experience some effect as well, because fracking, hydraulic fracturing, and other non-conventional resource extraction occurs all over the world, not just, you know, here.
What do you take back to California?
In addition to a username and a password for Frack Finder, I take back quite a bit of increased knowledge. I mean, this us being here today with SkyTruth is only one part of our journey, or one part of our immersion here in Appalachia. And I think that this all kind of contributes, like I said, to the increased awareness, increased solidarity for an issue that maybe some of us didn't really know too much about before. And we'll be able to take that back with us, as it's been said, and hopefully apply some of this newfound call to action or to apply some of this back to our own communities for our own issues that we are concerned about.
SkyTruth's David Manthus says the data collected by these students and other frack finders will be used by Johns Hopkins University.
The purpose of that is to inform a public health study on if the evaporation from those ponds contributes to problems, respiratory distress, and neonatal problems. So they're going to, once we have a map of where the ponds are, you can actually start to do an analysis with public health data. Is there a correlation? Is there problems with living near one of these sites?
The students will spend the rest of the week focused on another energy source, coal. They'll travel to southern West Virginia, where they'll see the mountaintop removal taking place at Cayford Mountain and visit with representatives of the State Coal Association. Lauren Tota is a University of San Francisco staff member who's leading this journey. She says one goal is giving the students a better sense of just how complex social justice issues can be.
My job is not to tell the students what to think. My job is to show students all sides of an issue and have them become critical thinkers. I want them to ask questions and I want them to form opinions for themselves about what they're seeing and really just critically think about these issues and how complex they are, and to try to foster that discussion.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Cecilia Mason in Shepherdstown.